My guest at this time is Jill Stanek, National Campaign Chair at the Susan B. Anthony List. During her career as a nurse, Stanek confronted then-State Senator Barack Obama over his opposition to legislation that would require life-saving medical care for babies that survive attempted abortions. Last year, she helped to organize the sit-in to demand a vote in Congress on a 20-week abortion ban. We want to get her reaction today to the U.S. Supreme Court Monday striking down abortion restrictions in Texas, namely that abortion clinics must meet the standards of any outpatient surgical center and that all abortion providers must have hospital admitting privileges. It was a 5-3 decision. Justice Stephen Breyer, writing for the majority, Jill, says, "We conclude that neither of these provisions offers medical benefits sufficient to justify the burdens upon access that each imposes. Each places a substantial obstacle in the path of women seeking a pre-viability abortion. Each constitutes an undue burden on abortion access, and each violates the federal constitution." What's your reaction?
Well, today's tragic decision by the court means that Texas women are not going to be protected by unsanitary conditions and even Gosnell-like horrors that permeate the abortion industry. It was an inexplicable decision. You know, Greg, in the last 5 years, at least 26 abortion facilities in a dozen states have shut down due to noncompliance with local health and safety regulations. And in many of these cases, the regulations were even weaker than Texas. And then you have other states like my own in Illinois where there are absolutely no clinic regulations, meaning that in Illinois and many other states, abortion clinics are less regulated than veterinary clinics, roofers, and nail salons. And how can this be good for the health and safety of women?
So what do you think is the rationale for the court's decision, the real rationale?
Well, as Justice Alito said in his dissent, the court's patent refusal to apply well-established law in a neutral way is indefensible and will undermine public confidence in the court as a fair and neutral arbiter. And Justice Thomas called this judicial fiat. As a court applies whatever standard it likes to any given case, nothing but empty words separates our constitutional decisions from judicial fiat. And that's just what this was today.
So with Breyer's opinion saying that these restrictions were unnecessary burdens to women accessing abortion, do you get the sense that this court is prepared to not allow any sort of restrictions, regulations, sanitary conditions? Is that your read of this, or do they just not like these particular ones?
Well, as Justice Thomas again said, the majority radically rewrites the undue burden test that was applied in the Casey decision a quarter of a century ago. And already I've seen talk on Twitter, and I saw an interview today with Cecile Richards, the president of Planned Parenthood, with Andrea Mitchell, saying that this is just the beginning, this decision, and now they're going to go back and try and get other abortion clinic regulations overturned in other states. And also, this was struck down was admitting privileges that the Texas law said that abortion clinics, abortionists had to have admitting privileges at local hospitals to apply continuity of care, which is also just common sense, and the court struck that down today too. But I will say that another element of HB 2, the Texas law, the 20-week abortion ban, was not sued in court, and it still stands.
We're talking with Jill Stanek of the Susan B. Anthony List. And Jill, obviously, when the Kermit Gosnell trial, and you referenced that in a previous response, came down, very, very quiet on the pro-choice side. Ultimately, when the conviction came down, a lot of pro-choice people condemned what he had done. Based on today's ruling, how much of a condemnation is there really? I mean, what would this court really have to say about Kermit Gosnell?
Well, we already know the abortion industry cannot be trusted to regulate it itself, and they know it. And the mere fact that they strongly oppose this reasonable common sense safeguard for women just reveals the true nature of it as a pro-profit business model, and that the industry would rather tolerate conditions reminiscent of back alley abortions and invest in upgrading their facilities. And what we were talking about with these clinic regulations was just making abortion clinics follow the same standards as other ambulatory surgical centers like podiatrist's office that fix hangnails. And this had to do with such regulations as making sure that doorways were wide enough to fit a wheelchair and hallways were wide enough to fit a gurney. And that's why Gosnell's patient died, by the way. The EMTs couldn't get a gurney down the hall. Or making sure that there were no open drains in surgical suites. You know, this is all just this common sense stuff that the court overturned. And it was interesting in the opinion, the majority opinion, again quoting Breyer, there's no reason to believe, and he's speaking of Gosnell, that an extra layer of regulation would have affected that behavior. Determined wrongdoers, already ignoring existing statutes and safety measures, are unlikely to be convinced to adopt safe practices by new overlay of regulations. And what he's saying there is that since hardened criminals obviously will disobey the law, then we shouldn't pass a law. If that's standard, then there's no U.S. law. There should be no rule of law in the U.S. because we already know that flagrant criminals will violate any law that they come across. And it was interesting that the grand jury in the Gosnell case specifically recommended treating abortion facilities as ambulatory surgical centers. But there's just no rational legal basis for this decision today other than radical abortion advocacy.
And it's obviously being celebrated on the left and in pro-choice circles. So as we get closer to the general election campaign really kicking off here, and in many respects it already has, as national campaign chair at the Susan B. Anthony List, you have heard and you're going to hear Hillary Clinton and others talk about how Democrats are the champions of women's health. After a decision like this and their position on this issue, what's your rebuttal to that?
Well, interestingly, the 1996 Democrat platform said that they wanted abortions to be rare. And in the platform that they're working on for 2016, news came out today that they want to overturn the Hyde Amendment, which is the first time that this has ever been mentioned by a presidential candidate, which Hillary Clinton has done, or a platform, which means Democrats want taxpayers to fund Medicaid abortions. And also, Hillary Clinton has also said that she would like to reinterpret her words, the Helms Amendment, which blocks taxpayer funding of overseas abortions. And she has already said that she will not approve any Supreme Court justice who does not prove, so that's her word, prove, that he or she will uphold Roe v. Wade. And she's also promised to increase funding for Planned Parenthood. And the Democrat platform also reinforced the idea that it stands behind Planned Parenthood. So this is the radical agenda that is counter to what pledges Donald Trump has made. He has said that he will only nominate pro-life judges, and no, by the way, presidential candidate, Republican, has ever used the word pro-life. You know, they've used the word strict constructionist and, you know, code words, but they've never said it like he did, and he gave a list. He has promised to sign the 20-week abortion ban, and he's promised, no matter what he thinks Planned Parenthood, the good it does otherwise, that he will defund Planned Parenthood as long as it commits abortions. So this means that the stake for the 2016 election could not be higher for women and children in the pro-life movement, because the next president is going to be tasked with not only selecting Justice Scalia's replacement, but up to three others as well. So this is just another critical reason that pro-lifers have to come out and vote. And Susan B. Anthony List's strategy as far as Trump is concerned, because, you know, speaking honestly, which I guess I would do anyway, but speaking for, you know, people have a concern about Donald Trump as a recent convert, and will he stand by his pledges? And so our strategy is to get him as many times, as many ways to repeat these pledges that he has already made to us in writing, so that when the day comes, when he's president, that he would have to enact any of these pledges, that the likelihood is greater that he will go ahead and follow through.
Politics aside, as our last question here, Jill, and perhaps it's impossible to put it aside given what you just explained is potentially at stake in November, how big of a hit is today's decision to the pro-life movement?
I mean, the fallout is new, but from what I've been reading, this is just the most consequential decision in a quarter of a century, and it did not go our way in most cases, although there was one bright spot in that Kagan said that she was supportive of abortion clinics being inspected. And so there is a chance now for us to write stronger model legislation encouraging frequent inspections of the abortion industry. Because, you know, I mentioned that just in the last 5 years, 26 abortion clinics in a dozen states have been shut down for noncompliance. And some of these, the worst infractions were just despicable, especially, you know, me as a medical professional knowing what this means, that they had unsterile instruments, splattered dried blood on exam tables, and you and I have both seen pictures of this taken by employees, spattered blood on the walls and the floors, expired medication, incompetent administration of anesthesia by workers off the street with no medical background, faulty defibrillators, meaning equipment to resuscitate victims, you know, that are coding, throwing fetal remains and patient records away in the regular trash, putting infants' remains down garbage disposals, staff, including doctors. One doctor admitted it in Michigan that he didn't wash hands between patients, and dead insects and locked doors, blocked emergency exits, as in the case of Gosnell, and the list goes on and on. And again, we're talking about basic safety. And now this is going to continue unfettered, and it looks clear that the abortion industry is going to try and overturn common sense laws that have been placed in other states. And, you know, can I add one more point? Alito, in his dissension, noted today that when HB2 was passed, there were six abortion clinics that were ambulatory surgical centers, and now there are nine. So they're increasing in Texas. They're increasing in the state of Texas. They're complying. So, again, this doesn't. What the decision today makes no sense on a rational basis.
Jill, unfortunately, we'll have to call time there. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Greg, for having me.
Of course, Jill Stanek is the national campaign chair at the Susan B. Anthony List. She is a former nurse who confronted Barack Obama over his opposition to legislation that required life-saving medical care for babies that survived attempted abortions. She also led the sit-in to demand a vote in Congress last year on a 20-week abortion ban. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.